This morning, so amen. This morning we're going to continue with the book of Nehemiah, our study, our short study in Nehemiah. And I grab your Bibles, electronic or otherwise, paper or otherwise. If you like to use old copy paper Bibles, we always have paper Bibles, print Bibles in the back that you can get if you'd like to, Chinese and English, but you're welcome to use your phones as well. So grab your Bibles and turn to Nehemiah 4. That's where we will be most of the time this morning, and we'll be looking at, we'll be just talking from that. And I want to kind of move, I want to jump right in. I'd already adjusted my notes because I want to give time for the other sharing as well that's part of it. But what I want to share with you this morning is something from Nehemiah. Let me go ahead and go there. Okay. That is has been so strongly on my heart. I feel as if the Holy Spirit has just been burning this in my prayers and in my heart, in my thoughts throughout the week. Remember the Lord and fight. Remember the Lord and fight. I believe there are many of us at this moment that are in the position that we're going to talk about this morning. You are in a battle. What are you going to do? The enemy around you, or the opposition, however you want to think of it, is greater than you are. You may be thinking about it. You may have been praying about it. You may have been trying to get through it. And you are feeling, I can't get through this. I cannot overcome in this area. It may be something in your own life. It may be in your health. It may be in your thoughts or your emotions or your feelings. It may be something spiritual that you're dealing with. It may be family. It may be children. Maybe a spouse. It may be any number of things. It may be on behalf of someone else that God has put on your heart. And your heart and your thoughts and your prayers are burdened by this situation that isn't what it should be. It's not right. This message this morning is for you. And if you say, hey, I'm doing great, this message is for you, because this is normal Christian life. So we're going to look this morning, and as we're going to see, Nehemiah is a masterclass. It's a masterclass for fighting spiritually, for standing spiritually, as we're going to see. So we're going to begin this morning. We're going to go into next week as well. But turn with me to Nehemiah 4. I'm going to look at a few other verses, but just to remind you as we go into this, Ephesians 2:10, for we are God's workmanship. So he has very personal. He's made you. The enemy has tried to destroy you. Sin has warped, but we are nevertheless God's workmanship, and he is restoring us into the image that he had for us in the very beginning. All of us. And the enemy cannot, the enemy's not greater than God in your life. God will win. You stick with him. He will win. You will get through. Created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. And so God has things for every one of us that he has prepared and planned for you personally to do. Not just, oh, go out and do good. Not just random acts of kindness. There's nothing wrong with random acts of kindness. But God has specifically prepared good works for you to do, good things for you to do, related to this wide variety that we've just said. So God has made us with this purpose. Now, there are other purposes. We are to enjoy God and glorify him forever, which is one of the old church sayings as well. But as part of that, one of the ways that we honor God, one of the ways that we bring glory to God, is by doing the good works that he has prepared for us to do personally. So we're going to look at this morning. And for Nehemiah, the good work that he had for him to do was to rebuild the wall of Jerusalem, right? So we're looking at the Old Testament, and what we see in Nehemiah, as we've said before, in the Old Testament, we'll always see something physical that tells us about a spiritual reality. So we see Nehemiah, his heart is moved, right? He prays, God puts something in his heart, he's waiting on the Lord, he mourns, fasts, and prays before the God of heaven. God puts something in his heart to do, and then he sets out to do it. He sets out to do it. So it is God's work, it's good work, and it's great work, right? We've talked about that. So I want to limit the review this morning because I really want us to move ahead. But I want to say one other thing as we get into this morning. What we've looked at already as we think about Nehemiah is this. Last time we looked at Nehemiah, in Nehemiah 3, this is where we were, we saw the wall being rebuilt, right? And people were coming together. We're going to talk about that a little bit more next week again. And it has a lot to do with remember the Lord and fight. Okay, this is part of it. Do you know that rebuilding the wall is part of fighting? It is. It's part of fighting. Because whenever you and I set out to do the good works that God has intended for us to do, the enemy will oppose. And you're going to have to fight. If you're going to make it through, you're going to have to fight. If you're going to do the good work that God has for you to do, you're going to have to fight. If you are going to walk in righteousness and holiness and be a godly person and be a loving spouse, you're going to have to fight because everything in this world is going in the other direction. But Nehemiah shows us how to fight as we look at this morning. As we get into this morning, I want to encourage you. I'm going to mention it now and then mention it again later. Some of you are facing things that burden your heart. It bothers you and you're praying about it. But as you face this and as you look at this, you feel very inadequate. Do you?
Yes.
Okay. Do you feel I'm not qualified to do this? I'm not good enough to do this? I'm not spiritual enough to do this? Yeah? I'm not mature enough to do this. I'm too scared to do this. All of us face these things. So think with me for just a minute about our brother Nehemiah. Nehemiah was a high-level, white-collar government official, the cupbearer for the king of Persia, one of the most powerful nations of that time. I doubt he had ever lifted a stone in his life. The Bible doesn't tell us, but I doubt it. I doubt he had any ability in building. I doubt he had any knowledge how to do this. Furthermore, if we look, I was sharing with somebody earlier, because of his position, when you think about it, he was in a pagan court, and probably Nehemiah was a eunuch also. That's almost certainly he was. Because if you were a close servant of a king with a large harem, you were a eunuch. If you were a man, you were a eunuch. That was to protect all of the king's things. So you can imagine, here's Nehemiah with this background, and he's going, God has put in his heart to go back to Jerusalem and rebuild the wall. How's he going to rebuild a wall? He doesn't know how to rebuild a wall. How is he going to lead these people who are following God? He's a eunuch. All of these things. What I want you to see and be encouraged by this morning, as you're facing these things ahead, what does God do? Here's the picture. Here's the example from Nehemiah. You think you can't do it. You think you're not qualified. You think you don't have the ability. You don't have the strength, the know-how, the power, the whatever. Well, you don't. But if you make yourself available to God, God makes you qualified. God qualifies you. God is looking for the willing heart. God is looking for the open hands. God is looking for the person who says, yes, God, I am your person and I will do the good works that you've called me to do of any age, of male or female sex, of any educational or financial standing, of any of those things. You bring yourself to God. If God can make Nehemiah a wall builder, don't you think he can make you into what he wants you to be? Don't you think he can equip you to do what he has put in your heart to do that you're scared to do and you say, no, I can't do that. I can't go there. Nope, 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 anything but that. God can do it if you will say, yes, God, here I am. So be encouraged this morning. I heard no amen from that, but it's true nevertheless. Amen? It's true. Does that encourage you? It should. It should. Okay. So, that's part of it. And we'll look at one other thing there. So we looked at chapter 3 2 weeks ago, and we're going to come back to that. But I want you to look at the first and last verse of chapter 3 as we get into this morning. Look with me. First verse, last verse. Then Eliashib the high priest and the other priests started to rebuild at the sheep gate. And then the last verse of chapter 3, which you may not have noticed before. What does it say? The other goldsmiths and merchants repaired the wall from the corner, from that corner to the sheep gate. And then it goes on. So here we have this picture, right? Here we have this picture of completion. Started at the sheep gate and went around to the sheep gate. That's in chapter 3. So we see that the work that's going on, it's not cut off halfway. It's not left undone. It starts and it finishes. That's what verse 1 and verse 32 tell us. It's something complete. He who began a good work in you is what? Is what? Faithful to what? Complete. He's faithful to complete. You start out with God, and if you stay with God, you'll finish with God. He'll get you all the way through. Amen? You will make it. You will not fall by the wayside. I've heard a few more amens, but anyhow. Nevertheless, thank you. Okay. Nehemiah 4:6. And then we dip into chapter 4. This is where we're going to be today because Nehemiah chapter 4 is about fighting. Okay. Nehemiah chapter 4 is about fighting, as we're going to see. But we ended with, okay, so they're building. And then in chapter 4, verse 6, so we built the wall and all of it was joined together to half its height. For the people had a heart and mind to work. When we have a heart and a mind to work, we'll be able to get things done. Amen? And God can give us a heart and a mind to work. So we look at 1, 2, 3. Now, when we look at Nehemiah chapter 3, chapter 4, chapter 5, and chapter 6, all take place at the same time. It's all going on at the same time. So when you read Nehemiah, when you go back and look, remind yourself of that as you're going through, okay? All of these things are happening at the same time. They're building the wall, chapter 3. And then, as we're going to see in chapter 4, the enemy starts opposing. That's there. Then there are some. So chapter 1, prayer. Chapter 2, preparation. Chapter 3, rebuilding or restoring. And for me, anyhow, I call chapter 4 resistance, okay? But not in a good way. This is the enemy's resistance to the good work that they're doing. So these good things are happening. They're rebuilding the wall. They've built it together to half of its height. And as they are doing a good work, there are also other things happening. And that is chapter 4. Chapter 4 is resistance to God's work. And as God's people are doing God's good work, the enemies of God's people also get to work, and they are doing their work. This is how it always happens, brothers and sisters. Don't get discouraged. I'm not preaching a negative message. This is Christian life. Once you determine, God, I'm going to go on with you. Once you decide, Lord, I'm moving ahead. Once you decide, I am not satisfied with the way things are anymore. God, I'm going to press in. I'm going to pray. Lord, this is going to be conquered in my life. Let me tell you what happens. When you gear up, the enemy also gears up. That's what he does. That's what he does. And so you and I need to know, then what do we do? How do we deal with it? Nehemiah, as I said, is the masterclass in what we do. See, as long as the exiles were willing to live with the status quo, 140 years, remember? 140 years. It was a mess. Broken walls, burnt gates. It was a mess. 140 years. The enemy was happy to let them live, weak and defenseless as they surrounded them. But as soon as they rose up to build, the enemy rose up to fight as well. And if you and I are going to rise up to build in God, if you and I are going to rise up and make progress, the enemy will rise up also. But don't be afraid. Let's see what happens. So let's look with me. So we start reading. If you look in Nehemiah 2, this is where we're staying in chapter 4, but let me just read it to you. When Sanballat the Horonite, these are his enemies, by the way. I don't care if you remember the names or not. It's Sanballat the Horonite, Tobiah the Ammonite, and then there is Geshem the Arab. And then there are the later on the Ashdodites and the others. They're a whole bunch of enemies. What do you need to know, or what do we need to remember? It's the people that were around the children of God. It's the people that were around Israel in close proximity, and they benefited from a weak Jerusalem. They benefited from a defenseless Jerusalem. And so when they hear that of my arrival, Nehemiah's arrival, they were displeased that someone had come to help the people of Israel. Notice how the opposition starts. It's just, I don't like that. Okay, that's where it starts, but that's not where it ends. Okay, look at what happens next. Okay, and then they start mocking. That was in 2 verse 9. And then they start mocking. Now here we meet Geshem. Just think of them as the enemies. Okay, the enemies. They mocked and ridiculed us. Okay, stop right there. Let me ask you something. Is there anything dangerous about mockery and ridicule? It's just words. How many of you have been mocked and ridiculed before? How many of you have been made fun of before? All of us have in various ways. And the purpose of mockery and ridicule is to make you and to make me appear small, insignificant, and unimportant. It's to make what we have set our hearts to do of nothing. Of meaning, it's meaningless, it's unimportant. And that's where the enemy starts. And so the enemy begins by mockery. So it may not seem that bad, but the end goal is to stop the work of God. If you don't think it's important, if you feel I'm small and insignificant, you won't set your hand to the work and stick with the work. You won't hold in your heart, this is God's good work and I'm doing a great work. And so the enemy starts with mockery, and they ridiculed. What is this you are doing? Are you rebelling against the king? Look at Nehemiah's answer. He doesn't engage in a blah, blah, blah. He just says, the God of heaven will help us succeed. We, his servants, will start rebuilding this wall. What a great positive answer. Just, nope, this is what we're going to do. We're going to start rebuilding the wall. And they start rebuilding. Now, let's see what happens next. Let's get into chapter 4. So chapter 3 is happening, right? They're rebuilding the wall. They're getting it halfway around. Now look with me. When Sanballat heard that we were rebuilding the wall, he became angry and was greatly incensed. Those expressions mean to get very angry. And it also means to burn, okay? Have you ever burned before? We all have, right, to burn. So that's what it means. He doesn't like what's going on. He ridiculed the Jews. Here we see it again. You ready? Scoffing, mockery, ridicule. And in the presence of his associates and the army of Samaria, he said, what are those feeble Jews doing? Will they restore their wall? Will they offer sacrifices? Will they finish in a day? Can they bring the stones back to life from those heaps of rubble, burned as they are? And Tobiah the Ammonite makes it even worse. He really ridicules. He said, what are they building? If a fox jumps up on it, the wall will fall down. Now, you know why this was really, really making fun of them? Because foxes are known as being very, very light-footed, right? Very, very light feet. If a fox jumps on the wall, it'll fall over. So think with me for just a minute. At first, it was just directly to them. Ah, what are you doing? What are you doing? Then we get to chapter 4, and now it's in the presence of others, and it's beginning to spread, right? And so we see that the enemy begins to intensify. So let's go back, and I want us to see something here this morning that will help us. How many of you, when you started to do something or you're facing something, thoughts come into your mind and you think to yourself, what was I thinking? I can't do that. I can't do that. I'm too scared to do that. What if? How many of you struggle with what if? I can't do that. I'm not qualified. Okay. So here's what I want us to see this morning. Sometimes we think, well, I'm just being realistic. Sometimes we think, sometimes it may even sound like another friend. It may even be another Christian friend who says these things to us. No, 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 no. You're not qualified. No, you can't do that. All of these other things that will be said. Or it comes into our mind and we think, what was I thinking? I can't do this. I'm scared to do this. I'm scared to do that. Now, I want us to see something here this morning as the board takes care of the smell. How was that? That was nice, wasn't it? Let's keep on going. Wear your masks if you need to. But stay with me. They'll take care of that. You can't do anything about that anyhow. Just keep, unless you want to stop breathing. And then we'll pray for you. But what I want us to see is this. And here's something that's so, so important. Sometimes you will think, it will be in your mind, I can't do this. You will hear things. And you know what? You will think it's just my thoughts. You will feel it's my ideas. You will say, I'm just being realistic. Or you will think, but that's just the way it is. What I want to say is this. The enemy's voice never sounds like the enemy, does it? The enemy's voice never sounds like the enemy. It will always sound like the voice of reason. It will always sound like I'm just being practical. It will sound like your own thoughts. It always, that's how it always, and get this, there will always be some element of truth in it. There will be. There will be some element of truth, because if there's no element of truth, you're not going to believe it. You're not going to entertain it. So let me ask you something this morning. For example, how many of you are afraid, you really struggle with this fear, that somehow, suddenly, one day, your head is just going to go poo and it's going to explode? Does anybody have that fear? Why not? I'm being ridiculous because it's ridiculous, right? It's ridiculous. Now, some of you that may be obsessed with me be thinking, well, now I've got one more thing to worry about. Don't worry about that. Your head is not going to go poo like that suddenly. But the point I'm trying to make is this, and just being really practical. If it were totally beyond the realm of possibility, you wouldn't entertain it. If it were just way out there, you wouldn't think about it. If it were totally ludicrous, it wouldn't bother you. It wouldn't. So what does the enemy do? Because he's really clever. He comes in sounding like the voice of reason, sounding like the voice of possibility. Well, what if? What if? And this is what happens here. Do you see that with me? So now think for a minute about some of the thoughts that have been in your brain, some of the fears that you're struggling with, some of these things. What I want to say to you is this. It is the voice of the enemy. It is not God. It's not God. I don't care how reasonable it sounds. If it is not something that lines up with God's word, if it is not something that is positive, if it is not something that brings encouragement, if it is not something that moves you forward in God, it is not God's voice. It's the enemy's voice. It's the enemy's voice. Let me say it one more time. It's the enemy's voice. You and I are going to have to learn what to do about the enemy's voice. You've got to, or else you and I will always be defeated. So he ridicules. And here's the thing. What are those feeble Jews doing? Well, guess what? They were kind of feeble. It was a huge task. They didn't have enough strength for that. Will they restore their wall? I can tell you right now, some of the Jews were thinking, I don't know if we can do this or not. Don't you think some of them were thinking that? Looking at the pile of rubble? I don't know if we can do this. Will they offer sacrifices to God? Will God be pleased with what we're doing? Will they finish in a day? Can they bring the stones back to life from those heaps of rubble burned as they are? I love that sentence so very much because it was true. The stones almost certainly were limestone. That's what was used for building in those days. And high temperatures changed the physical composition of limestone and made it weak and crumbly. And the limestone, the walls had been burned. So when Sanballat says, can they bring those, can anything good, that's what it means, can anything good, can they do something with those, with that heap, those heaps of rubble burned as they are? That's the voice of reason. But brothers and sisters this morning, there is another voice. and it's the voice of God. And there's another breath, and it's the breath of God. And it's the breath of God in Eden who formed man from dust, from dirt, from mud, and breathed into an inanimate, lifeless being, the breath of life, and Adam came into being. It is the breath of God that came into Ezekiel's valley of dry bones, right? And Son of Man, can these bones live? Oh God, only you know this. It was a pile of bones. And what happens? The breath of God breathed into them, and they stood up a mighty army for God. You and I look at impossible, hopeless situations, and our voices say, this will never get better. This will never change. I'll always face this problem. I'll always struggle with this. That is the voice of the enemy. It is not true. The voice of God says, I have overcome, and I will overcome through you. Let me go ahead and read you first. It's not in our notes. 1 John 3:8. Listen. The reason the Son of God appeared was for this purpose, to destroy the devil's works. The reason the Son of God appeared was for this purpose, to destroy the devil's works. What in your life? What in your body? What in your family? What are you facing that you can look at it and you can just say, this is the devil. This is the devil's work. This is the devil's work. The reason Jesus came was to destroy the works of the devil. To destroy the works of the devil. And the enemy, the devil, will stop you any way he can by getting in your thoughts, by saying, oh, you can't do this and you can't do that. And so here is Sanballat and here is Tobiah saying these things. Now, how are you going to fight? Look at what Nehemiah says. Nehemiah says, what? Then I prayed, hear us, our God, for we are being mocked. May their scoffing fall back. So he doesn't get into an argument with them because he knows that the battle is not this way. It's in the heavenlies. It's with God. And he prays to God, and it's a pretty strong prayer, isn't it? Now, before you say, whew, that's not a very Christian prayer. Look at that prayer. Wow. Come on, Nehemiah. Show a little grace and mercy. No, you don't. You don't show grace and mercy to the enemy. And your enemy is not people. Let me say it again. Your enemy is not people. Some of you are fighting people. Stop fighting people. Start talking to God and let God. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against what? Principalities, powers. The fight is in the spiritual realm. Now, Nehemiah shows us this physical fight, but it's spiritual. It's spiritual, right? It's a spiritual thing. And so Nehemiah says, God, do you hear them? Listen, that's what you and I need to do when somebody, God, you see that? And you know what God says? I'm not being irreligious. God says, yes, I do see that. And yes, I do hear that. Let me take care of it. Let me take care of it. Why is this important? Look at verse 5. They have provoked you and demoralized the builders. That's what happens. You see, the purpose was not just to, ha, 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 I'm laughing at you. The purpose was to bring harm that would cause them to stop doing God's good work and what they were doing. And so Nehemiah prays, but he does more than he does something else. Okay? He prays, and then they keep on going. Okay? So they keep on going. They keep building, and then comes verse 6 that we read earlier. They rebuilt the wall to half height, so they don't stop. Nehemiah prays and says, God, you hear this and you see this, and God says, yes, I do. Do not let these things stop you. That's the purpose of it. It's to stop you. It's to say, I can't do this. It's to say, this is too difficult. It's to say, I can't overcome this. That's the lie of the enemy. You keep on fighting. You keep on fighting, and you keep on fighting by doing the work. You keep on fighting by obeying God. You keep on fighting by praying, even when you don't see a lot of progress. But the enemy doesn't stop, right? Isn't this a negative message? The enemy doesn't stop. Don't worry about it. Chapter 6 tells us that the wall was built, right? So we're going to get there. We're going to get there. Where we have to go and how we have to go to get there. When the enemies, oh, now look, the enemies are growing. How about that? It's not just Sanballat, Tobiah, and the Arabs. It's now the Ammonites and the men of Ashdod. These are all people in the area. When they heard that the repairs to Jerusalem's wall had gone ahead and the gaps were being closed, they were very angry. Now, here we go. It ratchets up. Verse 8, they plotted together to come and fight against Jerusalem and stir up trouble against it. That expression, stir up trouble, let me see if I can find it. Hang on. To injure, cause confusion, and failure. That's what to stir up trouble means in the original, okay? So that's pretty serious. And so the enemy begins to ratchet up. So brothers and sisters, if you are in a place, in a position now where it seems like you're trying your best, but it's getting harder, don't stop. Do you know why you don't stop? The enemy will intensify, and the enemy will press further when you are making progress, when you are taking your stand. So you got to keep on going. So they begin to, now that they plot together to come and fight against Jerusalem and stir. So it's gone beyond words, and now it's gone. So I was thinking about this. So you know I'm from the U.S. Keith is from the, a few of us are from the U.S. And I was thinking about this. You know the FBI. You've heard about the FBI before. And when you watch the news and whatever, they will monitor. Every country does this, right? They will monitor social websites, right, for chatter, for the wrong type of chatter, right? If the word B-O-M-B is said, or I'm not going to say that, just in case it clicks something, or some of these words. The FBI, as every country is monitoring. And then, every once in a while, the FBI will say there is a credible threat, right? And if you've watched movies, you'll hear that expression, right? It's a credible threat. Okay, here's a credible threat, right? They're not just playing around. They're not just scaring. They're not just mocking. There is a credible threat that is coming, that is on the way. So what are you going to do when there's a credible threat? When there is a credible threat, you're going to have to do what Nehemiah does. When the enemy intensifies, but we prayed to our God, and because of them, we set up a guard against them day and night. That's in Nehemiah 4:9. We prayed. Prayer is always part of it. That's part of the work. That's part of the fight. And we set up a guard. Now, I want to give you two verses that are New Testament verses that will help you. And I'm already looking at the time right now, and we may come to a stop pretty soon. We may not get to the verse, remember the Lord and fight, but keep that in your heart this week. But, so they pray, and then they set up a guard. Now, look with me at 1 Peter 5:8. Here are two, setting up a guard. Here are two New Testament verses that will help us. Peter says, be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. So you're going to have to be alert when the threat is credible. When the enemy ratchets up, you're going to have to be more alert. We sometimes go through times and seasons in our Christian life when we're kind of laid back and we're kind of easygoing and we're kind of this way and that way. But brothers and sisters, when you are in a battle and you are in a fight, that is not the time to take it easy. That's the time to be alert, because the enemy is looking for any chance. So you too be alert. Let me give you another one, just in case you think, ah, oh, Pastor, are you stretching? By the way, those of you that know about lions, why is he like, he's not a lion. He's like a roaring lion. Why is he like a roaring lion? Lions roar to mark their territory. Lions roar to show their power. Lions roar to frighten prey. Lions roar to say, this is mine and you can't have it. I'm just using a everyday expressions. And the enemy starts roaring when you are determined to take back what the enemy has stolen in your life, in your family, in your children, in your relationships, in your health. And the enemy starts roaring, and it's a credible threat. So you've got to be alert. Here's the other verse, which I hope you've already thought of. Ephesians 6:18. Paul has just talked about take up the sword of the Spirit. You can stand, you can do this, you can do that. We'll talk about this at another time. But look with me, Ephesians 6:18. You're going to see the same word again. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the believers. I want to give you a personal example of this as we begin to wind down this part today, and it happened very recently, and it's in my life. I have in this whole area. I'm still learning, and I'm still growing too, and I'm still fighting too, and I have been praying for some situations and some people where I feel the enemy has been has a stronghold, where the enemy is hindering, where God's work and God's people should be free, but they're not, okay? So in more than one situation, more than one person, I'm praying for Lighthouse too, because I believe God has so much more for us, so much more, but the enemy is, I kind of feel like the enemy is camping on us a little bit. I really do. So anyhow, I have been waiting on the Lord extra, taking time away from meals and things like that just recently. And I had felt like this last week was kind of a critical time. So you already know what's coming because I've given you the background. Last Sunday night, I went home, went to sleep, went to bed early because I'd gotten up really early. And in the night, I felt my head was kind of tense and kind of tight. And I woke up maybe 2-3 in the morning with a pounding headache. And that never happens to me. I mean, a bad headache. And I lay there and it kind of woke up in a daze. It was like, oh, God. Oh. I didn't get up to take anything, but really felt it. And then I got up. And then after I got up, it kind of went away and I felt better. So went through the day. And then I went to bed Tuesday night. And it happened again Tuesday night, but it was a different area as well. And I got up the next morning. My sleep had really been messed up and interrupted. And I know that I need a new prescription for my glasses. I can't even tell you how old these are. But right now, if I look at you without my glasses and I look at you with my glasses, it's kind of the same. So that tells you something about prescription. So I've been working on the computer. So I was thinking, oh man, I've really got to change my prescription. I've got to find a good optometrist. I need to, and I have needed to. And then it happened Wednesday night too. Four nights in a row. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. And Thursday evening, as I was getting ready for bed, I could feel it begin to tighten. And I was getting ready for bed, and then all of a sudden, I stood beside my bed, and I thought, wait a minute. I did. I thought, wait a minute. This is the devil. This is the devil. And you know, we don't look for devils here and there, but it was the devil. Now, was there some truth to it? Yes, there was some truth to it. I need a new prescription. I do. But you tell me why, all of a sudden, when I'm committed to praying for these areas where the enemy has a stronghold, that I suddenly, out of the blue, start having headaches in the middle of the night. Here. Suddenly, it was the enemy. But the enemy's attack will almost always come with some truth to it, so you don't realize it's the enemy. That's what we talked about earlier, right? Right. And so Thursday night, I stood by my bed and I said, Lord, I humble myself under your mighty hand. I plead the blood of Jesus over my body, over my head, over my sleep, over every part. I rebuke you, enemy, in the name of Jesus. The Lord rebuke you. You have no place in my life. And then I crawled into bed. Was it all gone? No. But it was a whole lot better. Friday came around. It was even better Friday. And last night when I went to bed, it was still a little bit kind of achy and tight and whatever. Last night, I prayed again, went to bed, and I slept through the night until about 3:45, which is often when I wake up on Sunday mornings anyhow. But what I want to say is this. The devil won the victory in those first four nights because I wasn't alert. I was fighting, but I wasn't alert. Now, I don't want to scare you, and I'm not trying to, talk about the devil. You know, we don't do that a lot. But what I do want to do is encourage you in this. If you're in the battle, now is the time to be alert. Amen? Now is the time to be alert. And Nehemiah prayed, and because of them, we set up a guard. And I want to end with this, and then Anil is going to come and share. This is how chapter 4 ends. If you start there and go all the way through, do you know what you will see? Almost 10 times, there will be examples of how Nehemiah is alert and how he sets up a guard against the enemy. And this is how it ends. He must have been stinky during this time. None of us, not I, nor my relatives, nor my servants, nor the guards who were with me, ever took off our clothes. Whew. The point is, they remained alert. That's the point of this. We carried our weapons with us at all times, even when we went for water. That's the end of chapter four. Some of us, we need to get alert. We need to get alert and recognize this is the enemy. This is not normal. This is not natural. I don't have to put up with this. And if it's from the enemy, you don't have to put up with it. Listen, you don't have to put up with it. The reason that the Son of God appeared was to what? To destroy the works of the enemy. Amen. And Lord willing, God helping us, we're going to fight. We're going to fight. And we're going to make it through. These mountains in front of you, we're going to climb through them or tunnel straight through. We're going to climb over them or tunnel through them. These battles you're facing, we're going to stand and fight. We're going to remember the Lord and fight, and we're going to win. Why? Because our God will fight for us. Why? Because our God will help us succeed. Why? Because the enemies realized that the wall had been built with the help of our God, and they lost all their confidence. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. So we didn't even get to remember the Lord and fight. So if you want to find where that verse is, you got to read chapter 4. We'll get to it next week. Amen? Amen. So stay with me. We're turning from Nehemiah 4. We're going to say goodbye to those who are joining us online. And as Anil comes, I just want to pray for you. Okay, as Anil is coming, let me pray for you. And as I pray for you, you pray for yourself. And I want you to know I've been praying for you anyhow. I really have been, because some of us are in some battles, okay? So let me pray, and as I pray, you pray. And whatever the Holy Spirit is saying to you, you just say, okay, Holy Spirit, I'm listening, okay? Lord, here we are. The reason we say, Lord, I say it again, and I declare it again. The reason, Jesus, that you were revealed in this earth, walked upon this earth, took the form of flesh, our form, and walked as a human being, as we are, was to destroy the works of the devil. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for that. And God, I pray you will help us, your people. You will help us, Lord, to remember you and fight. To be alert, to pray and put up a guard, to stop accepting that voice as our own or the voice of that's just being practical. But Lord, to understand the enemy's voice for what it is and instead listen to your voice and do what you have put in our hearts to do. And now, O Lord, strengthen our hands for the work. In Jesus' name.